and singing tonight. Guys, I appreciate the testimonies. A couple of things right quick. Turn your Bible to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock and Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Brother Michael, do we need Jamie picked up or taken? Need Brother Jamie picked up from work Tuesday morning at 10. There's one. And Thursday morning at 10. Anybody can help out with that? See Brother Stacy Bullock or Brother Michael Powell tonight after church and let them know. And we're gonna buy you a skateboard, Brother Jamie. And you. Amen. Give him a bicycle, Brother James. How about a mule? He'd look good on a mule. Amen. Big old ears and straw hat. Yeah, that'll work. Amen. John chapter number 3 tonight. We're gonna look at some scriptures for a few minutes. Now, normally, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I just rear back and preach. But we're going to do a little bit of teaching tonight. And some of y'all, as soon as I say that, you're going, oh, this is going to be boring. When the Bible bores you, you got problems. When you get to the place where the Bible is boring to you, you have trouble. It's sad when God's people are bored by the Bible and entertained by the television. Say that again. It's sad when God's people are bored by the Bible and entertained by the television. And by the way, Brother Rusty, that better be the Bible on that computer and not Pac-Man or something, amen? I'll pack your man, amen. I don't care if you have a tablet as long as you're looking at the scripture, amen? But tonight, we're going to look, probably next Sunday night, we're going to let these preacher boys preach, but over the next few weeks, I'm going to look at some basic Bible doctrines that we take for granted every single day. I had a phone call on one night during the holidays, and a lady that's been to our church and her family, and one of her daughters had married a boy from a charismatic church or a Pentecostal background, I forgot. And he said, I wouldn't dare step church in a Baptist church. And she asked him why. He said, well, they preach at once saved, always saved. She said, that's right. Well, they wound up calling me a couple of nights later, and the boy was in tears and had a lot of questions, and they could not answer them. And she called me and had Bible questions. And immediately what he was doing in defense of his doctrine and what he had been taught all his life, since he could not attack that, he didn't have a leg to stand on, he started attacking everything else. You know, what about this in the Bible? What about that in the Bible? And they had all kind of off-the-wall questions, but it was to avoid the original issue, whether or not your salvation is, in fact, eternal. Now, I think, and we take it for granted, we believe once saved, always saved. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. But the truth be known, the average Baptist could not explain to you why we believe that. We just believe it because Grandma said it and Grandpa said it and the pastor preached it, so it must be so. But when I got saved, I got me an old King James Bible, and my very first Bible was a Scofield reference edition, and I started running them references. If I'm eternally saved, I don't want to bank on that just because the preacher said I was. I want to know what the Bible says about this thing and get that thing settled for myself. And once I get it settled for myself, I might be able to help somebody else with it. Now, wouldn't it be bad if we served a God who gave us such a great thing as salvation and then hung it over our heads and said, if you're not good, I'm not going to let you keep it. You know what kind of fear we would live in and day out? Amen. It'd be like my dad when I was growing up. My dad and mom were divorced and daddy would buy me stuff and he'd say, now this is yours, but you can't take it home. If you ever get rid of it, you got to bring it back to me. There was always stipulations on the gift. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever gave you a gift like that? And now it's yours. I bought this for you, but I'm glad God didn't put stipulations on my salvation. It was a gift from God, and it did not come with strings attached. I'm as saved now as I was the day I got saved, and I'll be as saved tomorrow as I am today, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Now, you say, I don't believe that. Well, we're just going to give you Bible tonight. And I may not get everything I need to say said tonight, but I'm going to give you the scriptures. Have you ever had anybody, somebody was preaching here during the watch night service, I believe it was Brother Atkins, and he made this statement, and I've heard it before. I have literally read verse after verse, Brother Gary, to people on the job or different places, and read the verse and say, now what do you think about that? And I've actually had them look me in the face, Brother Freddie, and make that statement. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. Well, what do you mean you don't care what the Bible says? This is our authority or it's not. This is our answer book or it's not. We're not drawing our doctrine from tradition. We're not drawing our doctrine from the Baptist or the Methodist. I'm a Baptist because the doctrine lines up with this book. Amen. Hey, when I got saved, I've always been my own man. I always want to know why this and why that. And when I got saved, I started looking at everything they started doing in the church. And I'm thinking, why are they doing this and why are they doing that? I remember I prayed and asked God if faith healing was real to let me do it. I prayed and asked God if speaking in tongues was really a gift, I wanted it. And if it really is, I still do. Well, it got quiet on me. If that's for real, if all that prophesying stuff's for real, God, I want it. If I can walk into Children's Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, and put my hands on the brow of a little child who's eat up with cancer, and I can say, come out, and that thing work, I want that gift. And by the way, anybody who claims to have the gift and don't use it for that ought to be put in jail. Charged with murder in the 100th degree, amen? Now, the truth is, I'm saved and I'm eternally saved. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But to be honest with you, there are times and there are days that I don't honestly feel saved. If you ask me every day, Eddie White, or you saved, there's a preacher friend of mine, every time I talk to him, you still saved? That's what he always asks. I'm glad he don't ask, do you still feel saved? I would ask somebody to raise their hand if you really feel saved every day of your life. But somebody would lie and raise their hand. I've never, the few weeks ago, I had a fever and the flu, and I laid on the couch on Wednesday, the day, December the 11th, man, I remember the day of infamy, amen. I lay on my couch, I didn't move, I didn't even go to the bathroom. I was laid on the couch. I literally prayed, Lord, either heal me or kill me, one of the two. This is bad right here. Now, I promise you there wasn't one time laying on that couch, burning up with a fever, shivering cold. Not one time did I say, woo, glory to God. Good to be sick. Not one time did I hang my head over the toilet the days after and puke and just give God glory. I didn't do it. I didn't feel saved. I felt sick. But I don't base my salvation on what I feel. Amen. Them boys were singing a while ago, and they something inside me bore witness with what they were singing. Something inside me bore witness with what they was quoting. And something inside me said, hallelujah and glory to God. And brother, that there are times I can feel my salvation. And I thank God for those times, but I don't base my salvation on what I feel. Or I'd be saved one day, lost one day. Saved one day, lost one day. Saved one day, lost one month. How about that? We all go through hard times. I don't care who you are. John chapter 3, most famous verse of scripture in the Bible. If you can't quote it, shame on you. If you just got saved today, you have an excuse. Nobody else does. John chapter 3, look at verse number 16. Now I want you to look at some key words. Now around here, we're King James Bible believers. We're going to teach on that a little bit later too. It's been a long time since that's done from the pulpit. Been a long time. Some of this stuff is elementary to you guys. How dare you lay out on church on Sunday night because I know all this already. To maintain, I have an expired plumbing license in my pocket. To maintain that license, I have to go and take a refresher course every year. It'd do some of y'all good for a little refresher course. Amen. If I were to take the microphone, walk around the building, and tell you to give me three verses on eternal security, there ain't a handful of people in here could do it. But you'll have no excuse after we're done tonight. Amen. That's why I want you to get a piece of paper and write them down. And if don't come to me and say, I want to talk to you about these. No, you take the Bible and figure it out for yourself. You don't need me to convince you that you're eternally saved. Let the Word of God do it. Pray and ask God to show you. Amen. Amen. We never did read the scripture, did we? John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world, are y'all looking at it? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have, say the next word with me, everlasting life. There is not a, do you know even the phony versions of the Bible, they change the thing about the Son, but they all put the everlasting in there. Thank God for that. Or eternal. Thank God we have everlasting life. How long is everlasting? How long is everlasting? It's eternal. It's eternal. You need to get a good bulldog grip on the fact that you are eternally saved. There's nothing you can do to lose it. If you can, tell me the sin that causes you. That's one of the questions a young man had the other night. He wanted to know about the degree of sin and which sin's worse than another sin. Are you listening? Back years and years ago, when they built the Golden Gate Bridge, and I've been there. I've crossed the Golden Gate Bridge, crossed it twice. It's an amazing thing. And you look out across there and see Alcatraz, that prison out there in San Francisco. It's pretty cool. But when they built that bridge, when they started building the bridge, they didn't have any safety precautions, none whatsoever. During the first months of building that bridge, 23 men fell to their death. 23 men fell to their death. After that, they constructed a net and put under that bridge all the way across. Did you know nobody fell again? And the productivity of work increased by 20-something percent. Do you know why? Those guys had assurance of their safety. They were able to work, they were able to produce, because if they fail, there was a safety net there to keep them from plummeting till their death. Hey, it's a whole lot easier to function when you are not scared out of your wits. Amen. It's a whole lot easier to function to know that if you fall, you will not die. Amen. I'm glad that when I mess up, I ain't got to worry about falling out of the grace of God. I've got the Bible to tell me that I'm God's child. No matter how far I stumble or how many times I fall, I'm still God's child. And I'm able to live with an assurance in my life. I've got enough to worry about without having to worry, am I saved or not? I don't know how you are. I'm about half schizophrenic. Man, I'd have to get saved several times a day, literally. Anybody like that? Literally. If one sin would cause me to fall from grace, man, how many times a day do you have a bad thought? You say, wait a minute now, there is levels of sin. Wait a minute now, Jesus said that Moses in the law said that adultery is a sin, is that right? He said, but if you look on a man, look on a woman, lust in your heart, you've committed all adultery already in your heart. So you're guilty of the same thing just by thought. Amen. Just, are you listening to me? Just by a thought. So according to the Lord Jesus, a thought can send you to hell just like an action. A thought could cause you to stumble from grace and lose your salvation just like an action. Now, I don't think there's any perverts in here. I pray there's not. We catch one, we'll deal with them. But there's not a man in here that hadn't looked on a woman to lust. You men don't have to say amen. I know you're guilty of it. Either that or you're very peculiar. And we're not going camping with you. God made us that way. We are attracted to the opposite sex. If we were not, the human race would not have prevailed. Amen. Y'all okay? I'm just making a point that every man in here has committed a sin that could cause you to lose your salvation. Y'all all right? I want us to look tonight at some key Bible truths.
simple. Most of you know this, I know. But please, please don't take it for granted because you know what everybody else does. We have people come to this altar and we pray with them and say, are you saved? Well, I was one time. And we're going to talk, we're going to teach a little bit and tell you how to deal with that kind of stuff here at the altar and helping people. I used to be saved. No, if you used to be saved, you still are. You may have made a false profession because you didn't understand, like the young man testified tonight and said, you know, I don't even remember praying a prayer, but they told me I was saved. You know, a lot of people go through that kind of stuff. And they live on a false profession. But if you truly, there was a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved. So I want us to look at some key Bible truths tonight. Number one, we have everlasting life in heaven. We read the scripture just a minute ago, John chapter 3 and verse number 16. The moment we receive Christ as our Savior, our eternal destiny is settled. Do you understand that? When you got saved, Jenny. When Jenny got saved this morning, her eternal, she ain't got a clue what happened right here this morning. I'm still figuring out what happened the night I got saved. And that's been 28, 29 years ago. I'm still figuring out what all happened under that pine tree in a moment of time. But this morning, she walked out of this place eternally saved. Eternally is a word you and I don't even comprehend. We live by segments of time. We measure our years, we measure our days, we measure our minutes, we measure our months, we measure everything. How old are you? Because we measure time. We measure time. Is that right? Everybody, how many of you got a 2014 calendar? Some of y'all better catch up. I got one in my pocket, towed it in my billfold, got one on my phone. Boy, I'm telling you, I get pulled in so many directions, I got to have a calendar everywhere in case I lose one, amen? But we operate our life according to time. Eternity has no time. Eternity has no time. You and I can't comprehend that, but we can put our faith in it. I can't explain eternity to you, except to, let's say that it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. When we got saved, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, our eternal destiny is settled. We no longer have to worry about life after death. We are promised an eternity in heaven with God. Listen, everlasting life is not something you get when you die. Do you understand that? Everlasting life is not something Danny got on the golf course. Danny settled everlasting life years before that when he trusted Christ as his Savior. Amen. I'm not waiting to receive everlasting life. I've already received everlasting life. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, I have everlasting life. This body is appointed unto man once die. After this, the judgment. This body will die. Listen, there's a part of me that ain't going to skip a beat. Why? Because I have life eternal. And if you're saved, you have life eternal. Amen. You say, well, I have everlasting life and it's something you get when you serve, when you receive Jesus, how long does it last? When does it end? There is no end. Suppose I had it 10 years and it ended. Was it everlasting life? Then the Bible's contradicting itself. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, either that or the 23rd Psalm, one of the two be the most quoted. Probably John 3:16. I remember when Tebow played in that championship game for Florida and he had John 3:16. The number one hit on Google was, what is John 3:16? I like that. What a testimony, man. But if you can have eternal life and then lose it, it's not eternal. Would you agree with that? Just come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's use common sense. If I had eternal life for 10 years and made a mistake and God revoked my salvation, then it wasn't eternal. It's contingent. Does that make sense? You have eternal life as long as. Then it's not eternal life. Because I am going to sin. And you're going to sin.
So John 3:16, tear it out of the book, it's a lie. We okay? Go to John chapter number 5, just over a couple of pages. Listen, if you can have eternal life and it can be lost, then it was never everlasting to begin with. Amen? John chapter 5, look at verse number 24. I want you to write these scriptures down, okay? Now, if you've got a red letter edition Bible, these are the words written in red, so they say. And it, you know, some people disagree with having a red letter Bible. I don't care where you do or not, because they say all the words are of God. And I agree, 100%. But this is what Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, say the word with me, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now there's some definitions you need to understand. Condemnation is God's judgment on man. According to John chapter number 3, just before the scripture we read in verse number 16, we were already condemned by God. Our sin had already condemned us to hell till we received everlasting life. Jesus said, if you believeth on me and my words and him who sent me, ye have everlasting life. There's that word again. Everlasting life. Every time I read that word, I can't help it. I'm carnal. I think about Willy Wonka and the everlasting gobstopper. Y'all remember that? It didn't matter how long you sucked on it. It never got no smaller. It never went away. That's like salvation. Just when you think you've sucked all out of it you can get, it's just still the same. Amen? It never goes away. Thank God I have everlasting life. Listen, now how is this? How is this? Listen, I got to live every day in such a way. Listen, that's what the Jews did. There was 100-something laws, I believe, them Jews, them scribes and Pharisees had to live by every single day of their life, man. But you know what they found out? They couldn't do it. So Jesus came and was the sacrifice for our sins. Why? Because you can't live it. Somebody said, I'm afraid if I get saved, I can't live it. I always say this, join the Can't Live It Club. Because none of us can. We're all going to make a mistake. So I'm not kept in grace by my power or by my merit, certainly by my goodness, and neither are you. If you are so self-righteous that you say you deserve to be saved, you're out of your mind. If you are so self-righteous, you say, I have lived good enough not to lose my salvation. I'd like to follow you around when ain't nobody looking. Like to be a fly on your windshield when you're in the car all by yourself. Are y'all listening? Ain't none of you perfect. Oh, we got some good people. Ain't no doubt. We got some holy people, some people who live righteously and godly, but you still mess up. You still make mistakes over and over and over again. So salvation is not yours to keep. You know why? Because you can't do it. Because you can't do it. I remember when I was a kid, my mother, I was so bad. I couldn't even keep up with my coat. She'd fuss. She'd come home from work. Where's your coat? It'd be cold in the morning. You go to school, it's hot. You know, any time you got out to the playground, man, it's hot. That coat's coming off. And wherever it come off, that's where she stayed. I couldn't even keep up with my coat. How am I going to keep up with salvation? My wife can't keep up with her keys. How's she going to keep up with something as big as salvation? And y'all hearing me? If we can't keep up with little insignificant things, how are we going to keep a grasp on something eternal? And we don't even comprehend eternal. Here's the deal, and here's the blessing. We're not keeping up with it. It's keeping up with us. We are kept by the power of God. Not the power of man. Let me say it again. We are kept by the power of God. Thank God for the power. You not receive the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God for the power of God. It's His power that keeps me saved. Not my power, not my might, not my righteousness, not my goodness, but His. Amen. Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. There's a whole lot of stuff in this life that one day it's just going to fade away. Would you agree? 1 Peter chapter number 1.
lot of stuff going to fade away, but not my salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, look with me at verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Now watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, hallelujah, hath begotten us again. Begotten, you know what that means? You start reading that Bible, people start reading their Bible through for the first time and they think, boy, I just get lost when it talks about all them begets. When you get to all them so-and-so begat, so the begat ain't my problem, it's the name before and after begat. And I always just read down there and I go, blah, 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 begat, blah, 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 and blah, blah, begat. I just do the best I can. You do the best you can too, amen? And as you grow, you'll find out those begets are in there for a reason. And you'll get some great Bible truths out of there. But begat means so-and-so was born of so-and-so. Amen. Let's read that again now with that meaning in mind. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Watch number 5. Who are, say the next word with me. Y'all need to underline this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, how are we kept? Talk to me. How are we kept? By the power of God. To say that I am not eternally saved is to say that I am trusting my salvation to a God who doesn't have the power to keep me. Now see, that's not making me look bad as a Christian. That's making Him look bad as a God. That's not making me look weak. You see, everybody bases this thing of losing your salvation on what you can do. But we're not building this doctrine based on what we can do and our ability. Because we're faulty at best. If it were up to me to keep my salvation, it'd been gone a long time ago. And God would have never given it back. God would have said, I can't trust you with it. He knows He can't, so He never did. He said, you're eternally saved, but you better let me hold on to it. If I turn you loose with it, you'll crash and burn, boy. We're kept by the power of God. So what I'm saying, if I'm saying I have fell from grace or because of this sin I'm no longer saved, I'm saying, God, you were big enough to save me, but you wasn't big enough to hold on. You had enough power to keep me out of hell to begin with. You had enough power to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you just didn't have what it took to keep me. How about that? I am kept by the power of God. Hallelujah, man. Not only that, we are in the grip of God's grace. As a Christian, there is nothing we can ever do or say that will cause us to fall out of favor with God. Listen, don't get me wrong. God will chasten you. The Bible said He chastens them He loves. God tear you up good, but He won't kick you out of the family. God will scold you good, but He won't kick you out of the family. He'll take that Bible and peel your hide up one side and down the other. He'll take a man of God and peel your hide. I was preaching. Brother Stacy went to lunch with us today. He said, man, you're preaching all over me this morning. That wasn't me. It's that book. Every now and then, God will correct you. And thank God for people who can be corrected. I'm glad He didn't say, you're preaching right at me. I ain't coming back. Amen. Hey, you correct your children? Do you? Let me say, ask you again. Do you correct your children? When they go flying out in the middle of a 4-lane highway, you go, you just go ahead, darling, whatever. No, you don't. You correct them. And why? Because you love them. And you care about their safety. That's why God corrects us. But there's nothing we can do to fall out of God's love. Paul said we can't get over it. We can't get under it. We can't go around it. You can't get through. You can't get around God's love. He loves you, man. Amen. No matter what my boy could ever do, I never stop loving him. One of our men, and I won't call any names, going through a horrible time with one of his children. One of his children sent him a text. And man, you read that text and just break your heart. And his heart's breaking right now. You know why? Because no matter what that child does, he loves them. No matter what they do, man, there's a love in that heart that's a parental love that God puts in there. Hey, and that's the way God loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in the grip of God's grace. Amen. I like this quote. I read this years ago. If I did nothing to earn salvation, if I did nothing to earn salvation, I can do nothing to lose it. If I did nothing to earn salvation, I can do nothing to lose it. Go to John chapter number 10. Back where we were. John chapter number 10. Y'all doing okay tonight? What time is it? 7:20? I'll try to get done here in a few minutes. I'm going to give you these scriptures tonight. If it hair lips the devil. Amen. How far? Y'all got to go back to Alabama tonight, brother? Okay, you're staying in Georgia. How far? How far you got to go? Okay, you're good. These boys are young. They'll keep you awake. John chapter number 10. I hope you're writing these scriptures down. Some of you. Hey, I'm going to see to it. The lady who called me the other night, she's going to get a copy of this message. Not because she don't believe in what I'm saying, but she's got family that don't. And they're searching. They're looking for help, man. You'd be surprised how many people are. Amen. John chapter number 10. Are you there? Look with me at verse number 28. I like this. The Lord said, and I give unto them. Here, say that word with me. Eternal what?
Life.
Why does that thing keep showing up? Over and over and over and over and over. Never one time is there a condition placed on that word eternal. Thank God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall... Say the next word. I hope y'all getting this. Never what?
Perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are kept by His grace. We are kept by His power, and we are kept by His grace. Thank God I don't have God in my hand. I'm glad God has me in His hand. That's not what just Brother Eddie said. I just read you the Bible. Thank God I'm in the Father's hand. And if I, listen, my grandchildren, Caroline is afraid of nothing. She's two. Two-year-olds, they would walk into a buzzsaw. I got a quarter horse at the house. When he first came there, I didn't know the horse, hadn't been around him. I didn't trust him myself. The kids come running out there, right up under the pasture fence they go, right up under that horse. They ain't got a fear of nothing. But boy, when they got hold of Papa's hand, man, they'll just take their feet plumb out from under. You know why? They know Papa's going to hold on. Thank God I'm serving a God who has never one time let me go. Not even for a minute. Not even for a second. He's never even pushed me over to the edge and said, whoops. He's never even threatened to let me go. Praise the Lord. Are you glad about that? F.B. Meyer, the great old preacher, told a story about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn Mountain. And they hired some guides to take them to the peak of the Matterhorn. And what they did, they went up in a certain order and they started on the most steepest and slipperiest part. And they roped themselves together with ropes in this order: guide, traveler, guide, traveler, guide. And as they started up the mountain, the man in the very back lost his grip. And he slipped and started falling down the mountain. When he started falling, he was tied to the man next to him. When the rope got taut and it caught the tension because of the gravity, it jerked the second man back. When the second man began to fall, it reached the third man, And gravity took its course and pulled the third man back. But when it reached the one out in front, as these men thought they were surely falling to their death, what they didn't know was that front man had driven a stake deep in the ground. And they were all tied to that stake. And they all lived, not because of their foothold. They all lived not because of their grip, but because of the man out front had driven down a deep stake. And I'm glad I'm living tonight, not because of my grip and not because of my foothold. I'm glad I'm living tonight, not because of the one in front of me or the one in front of him, but way back yonder at Bloody Calvary, somebody went up the hill and drove down a stake that whenever I fall, I'm still connected to the cross. Thanks be unto God tonight. I'm in his grip. God will never cast us out of his family. Thank God. I talked to a man one day who told me he had kicked his child out of his home. He said, I'll never allow him to step foot in my house again. And I've never been in that circumstance, so I'm not going to judge the dad. I'm not going to judge the son. I don't know what I'd do. But I cannot imagine telling my son, you never welcome in my home again. Amen. I honestly don't think I ever could. I'm glad I serve a God. I've done some stuff I don't deserve to be called a Christian.
Amen.
You've done some things you don't deserve to be called a Christian.
Amen.
Some of you have put stuff on Facebook. If your Christianity could be revoked, I'd have revoked it. Because what you said hurt people. God gets defensive over his children. I'm a shepherd. I get defensive over my sheep.
Amen.
You lash out and bite and hurt one another, boy, it makes me want to tear you up.
Amen.
But you know what? God's never disowned you. Not one time.
Amen.
I am so glad. John chapter number 6. Go back a couple of pages. Y'all still doing okay? I need to hush my mouth and give you these scriptures right quick. John chapter number 6. Why don't you look with me at verse number 37. Say amen when you're there. I like hearing in pages turn. The Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, watch this, I will in no wise, say the last two words,
cast
out. I will in no wise, in other words, no way, no how, no shape, no form will I cast them out. You see, I was an outcast before I came to him. And I'll never be an outcast again. Thank God. I'm serving a God who said, I'm not going to kick you out of the family. You're in. You've received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Them boys sang about it a while ago. I love that, man. I've been adopted by the King. Hallelujah. I've done some stuff unworthy of him. I've done some stuff to bring shame to the family. But I'm glad real family loves no matter what. Amen?
Yes.
Listen, we have eternal life. We have the gift of eternal life. Go to Romans chapter number 6. Some of y'all know these scriptures, but I want you to have them. I want you to have them written in your Bible somewhere, underlined. I want you to be, because there may be a day when the devil will slip in and say, you ain't really saved.
Yeah.
I remember when God was calling me to preach. You know what the devil did? How can you preach? You ain't even really saved. Sure did. How dare you? How dare you even thinking about standing up there and preaching? You ain't even really saved. You know what I did? I said, come on, smutty face. Jump my truck. I'll carry you where it happened.
Amen.
I can go back there right now.
Amen. Yeah.
Every time I carry him back to where I got in, he just kind of goes on his merry way. Amen.
Yeah.
John chapter number 6. Look at verse number 23. Romans, what'd I say? Well, I've been in John a while. Let's make it Romans. Is that where y'all are?
Yes.
That's good. Amen. The Bible said in verse number 23, for the wages of sin is what?
Yes.
That next word may be one of my favorite words in the Bible. But that word's a conjunction. If you watch cartoons when you was growing up, if you're as old as me, you know what a conjunction is. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? Y'all remember that? Bringing back some memories there, ain't it? What that word but means
is what I'm about to say is going to be in the totally opposite direction of what I just said. The wages of sin is death, but. That's a good but right there, ain't it? Somebody help me right there. You better. I preached a message one time on the blessings of the but. Amen. The but that kept me out of hell. That was one of my points. I'll never forget it. The wages of sin is death, but. The what? Say the next word with me. The gift of God is, there's that word again, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are you seeing why salvation can be eternal? It had nothing to do with you. It's not contingent on you. It's Him. It's not your righteousness. It's not your holiness. It's not your good. It's Him. It's all Him. I never feel good enough to be saved, ever. When I'm reading my Bible, I don't feel good. Do you ever have bad thoughts while you're reading your Bible? If you don't, you don't read your Bible. Does your mind ever wander off on other stuff while you're praying? I'm talking about stuff you ain't thought about, and it just you're praying, talking to God, and all of a sudden, boom, you're like, where'd that come from? If you hadn't, you hadn't prayed. Maybe now lay me down to sleep. The devil might not fool with that one a whole lot. Good bread, good meat. Thank you, Lord. Let's eat. He probably won't. But you get sincere about praying, you better watch that mind, boy. The devil will attack that thing. Ain't never felt good enough to be saved, boy. But I'm glad I received a gift one day. Eternal life. Now, Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. A lot of people have a problem with this. They believe in this thing called lordship salvation. In other words, to be saved, you got to live perfect. If you really say, I've heard them say it, a saved person couldn't do this, and a saved person could never do that. Baloney. Some of those preachers I heard say that have committed adultery. Some of those preachers I heard say that have embezzled money from their churches. Big time. I knew a preacher that I loved. He was my friend. I looked up to him. Embezzled thousands and thousands of dollars from his church. Y'all listen to me? Thank God. I ain't never took a dime from this place I wasn't supposed to have. That's one reason you won't find my name at the bank being able to sign nothing. If the money gets gone, Tom got it. Y'all all right? Poor Brother Tom. I love you, brother. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. I like this. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Boy, that takes some of them snooty. Sister Sue better than you. What's it say? For what? You know who that is? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what? Say it with me.
Saved.
Y'all need to get these scriptures down. Do you good to memorize them. Listen, we have been made righteous, or we have been made the righteousness of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Be done in just a minute. Y'all still okay? I know you want me to click my heels and shout and holler and slobber, and we'll do that a little later. But I got to get some of y'all a little more rooted in this book, man. If I don't, I'm going to have to answer to God for it. Those of you who know all this, are y'all okay? You ought to want our younger Christians to know this. They don't come to Sunday school. And we want to encourage you to do that. It's been a long time since I just took and taught some stuff, and I'm going to do that. You're going to learn some things over the next several weeks if you'll come and if you'll be here. Amen? Anyway, thank God. We'd read Romans 10, 13, didn't we? Yes. What did I tell you? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Talking about Jesus, who knew no sin. Watch this. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How about that? Well, you bunch of self-righteous. No, we're not self-righteous. We're Jesus righteous.
me say it again. We're not self-righteous. If you are, it's a false righteousness. It's not real righteousness. You understand that? Self-righteous people who think they're better than everybody else, they're not. They may be worse. But my righteousness is not of me, it's of God. Amen. Thank God for that. My righteousness is not of myself, it's of God. Let's see, Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Keep going till you're right. Ephesians chapter number 3. The Lord lives in our heart by faith. Ephesians chapter number 3, look at verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what?
Faith.
That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Oh my goodness. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. When I put my faith in Jesus Christ, He moved into a part of me that was dead and vacant and void. Somebody said, have you ever got the Holy Ghost? Nobody got me. I'm glad. Listen, when the day you got saved, you were indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And by the way, and this is just a side note, and maybe we'll address this later, that never one time does the Bible even hint that an evidence of salvation is speaking in tongues. It never even hints it. You would be amazed at the people present at Pentecost who were saved. How many got saved? Over 3,000 people. There was only a couple of them spoke in tongues. And that tongue wasn't nothing but a language. I don't want to mess anybody up. We're not teaching on that tonight. But I'm just saying, when you got saved, hey, it's an evidence in your heart. John said, because we love the brethren. There's an evidence of salvation. Being sorry for your sin, there's an evidence of salvation. Having a hunger for God and having a hunger for His Word, and all of a sudden loving the things of God you used to hate. There's an evidence of salvation. It's a change of your heart. Not something coming out of your mouth that nobody understands to begin with. Amen. Christ dwells in our heart by faith. Listen, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. We have redemption through Christ's blood. You got to understand what we're doing with these scriptures tonight. I'm showing you this is not on your merit. None of this is on because of what you've done or what you're doing every day, how you live tomorrow. It's what He's already done. Amen. And you got to understand that. What people are doing, they are putting salvation, taking it out of the hand of God and putting it in the hand of men. Everything man ever touched, he corrupted and ruined. Amen. Amen. So I'm glad salvation's not in my hand tonight. It's in His. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption, watch this, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the redemption of sin, or the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood. We can read Ephesians where it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's nothing we have done. Understand, it's Christ who've done it already. You got to take salvation off of you and put it on Him. And if God can't keep it, it can't be kept. Amen. Amen. Revelations chapter 1. Last book of your Bible. Revelations chapter number 1. We have Christ dwells in our heart by faith. We have redemption through Christ's blood. Christ, watch this, has washed our sins away. Revelations chapter 1. Verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now you reckon He who's perfect, He who's righteous, He who is holy, He who is sinless, if He's going to clean something, you reckon He cleans it up pretty good? You reckon He misses anything? Nothing's hid from Him. You might have something hid from mama. You might have something hid from your wife. You ain't got nothing hid from God. I'm glad when he forgave my sins, he didn't miss one. There are times when I pray and I confess my sins. You ever leave any out? Anybody? You ever leave them out? You just throw that blanket on there, God forgive us our sin? Oh, I think we need to name them. I think we need to name them. God, I did this and I am so sorry. And God already knows what you've done. But he wants you to understand what you've done. Amen. I'm glad when God forgave me of my sins, he forgave me of every sin I had committed. He forgave me of every sin I am committing and every sin I will commit. Thank God he took care of them all. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He took care of it all at Calvary. All I got to do is put my faith and my trust in what he's already done. Thank God. Y'all glad you saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21. Almost done. There's a lot more scriptures we could give, but I just wanted you to have a good overview of why we believe that we're saved and we're eternally saved. Revelation 21. Watch this. Our names are written in God's book. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 27. Revelation 21, verse number 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything, talking about heaven, that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank God my name's written down somewhere. Amen. We talked about it a while ago. We'll go back to Romans. Can y'all handle a couple of more? You sure? Go back to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Look with me at verse number 38. Romans 8 and verse number 38. Y'all ought to highlight, underline this stuff in your Bible. Man, I've had to go back to this over and over and over again. Are y'all looking at it?
Yes.
Paul said, for I am persuaded, now watch this, that neither what?
Death
nor
life.
Death, that's pretty, that's it. But life encompasses a bunch, right? Neither death nor life. Is there sin in your life? Is there mistakes in your life? Paul said, neither death nor life and everything that comes with it. Neither death nor life. Watch this. Nor angels. Nor principalities. You say, what are principalities? That is those powers. Read Ephesians chapter number 6 or 5. Read those scriptures, man. There are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. They're things that we deal with every single day. Wickedness. Spiritual wickedness, the Bible said, in high places. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, which sin is it you've got to commit? What wrong is it you've got to do to lose your salvation? If there is one, you need to get rid of that. You don't need a highlighter. You need a black Sharpie. And just do like that NIV Bible and take you out about 6,000 verses.
Amen.
If you believe one, you got to believe them all.
That's right.
Amen. If you believe one, you got to believe them all. Thank God there's nothing that can separate me from God. Now here, I want to show you why. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I'm going to show you why nothing can separate us from God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look with me at verse number 17. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
The Bible says, therefore, if any man be where? Where? In Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad I'm not on him. I could fall off. but I'm glad I'm in Him.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm in Him. Remember when God flooded the earth? He told Noah to build the ark. You remember when Noah got in the ark? He came by invitation. We won't turn to Genesis and read it, but it's there. You can look it up for yourself. God said, come thou and your family into the ark. God was in there already. He didn't say go into the ark. He said come. I'm glad when Jesus called me, He said come. He didn't say go to here, go to there. He said come. Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, you'll find rest for your soul. Come. Anybody that's thirst, come. How about that? Come. I'm glad I'm not on this thing. I'm glad I'm in this thing. And I'm in something tonight that's pretty secure. It's more than secure than the dollars you got in your pocket. The things we put so much faith in, one day could be worthless. He said it'll never happen. Happened to the Confederates. What they used to buy goods with, one day was toilet paper. That's a fact. I'm glad we are in Christ. Amen. Let me, can I give you two more? Maybe three. Ephesians chapter number 4. There is so much that we have. God has not given us just a hope of eternal security. He's given us verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. And I'm not giving you all of them tonight. And I'll give you quite a few. I love this one right here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Y'all there?
Amen.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are, say the word with me,
sealed
until the day you mess up. And until today you commit that unpardonable sin, whichever one that is. Until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has sealed you till I come after you. Hallelujah. And here's what's pretty cool. When He comes after me, I don't need that seal no more. I don't need to be sealed ever again. Because this vile flesh is dropping to the ground.
Amen.
And I'm getting a body like unto His.
Amen.
That'll never sin again.
Woo.
How do you know? It's going to be like His.
Amen.
I'm getting one like His. Woo! I'm a little happy about that. Amen.
Amen.
We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus said in John chapter number 17, you don't have to turn there. He said, I pray for them. Jesus is interceding for us. We've got somebody praying in our behalf when we ain't even praying for ourselves. He said, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Woo, how about that? Amen. Jesus also prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. John chapter number 17. Look at John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. Almost done. John chapter number 11. I'll make you turn to one more after this. I promise that's it. John, I think. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, verse number 42. You say, this is boring. Get over it. Or get it, one of the two.
Right.
This stuff encourages the fire out of me. And I've read it so many times it ain't funny. But every time I go through it, you know what it makes me do? Whew, I really am. I really am eternally saved. I really am. I'm safe. Hallelujah. I'm fireproof. Amen. Thank God. What did I tell you, John what, 11? In verse 42. The Lord said, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou
has sent me. John chapter 11 and verse number 42. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Look at Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7. Last one. And somebody may be saying, well, what about this verse for eternal security? What about, jot them down. I mean, it's good to have them all in your arsenal. I mean, I'm not telling you these are the only ones. I'm just giving you a few tonight that'll help you. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. I love this. Wherefore he is what?
Able.
Didn't say you are, said he is. Didn't say the church was, said he is. Wherefore he is able also to save them, watch this, to the what?
Uttermost.
That come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Wow, isn't that a blessing? Let me ask you something tonight. From the guttermost, Brother Charles, to the uttermost. Are you eternally saved? Or is it contingent on by how you live tomorrow? You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow because you don't know what you're going to be faced with. And people all the time make statements like, well, buddy, if that were to happen to me, this is what I'd do. You don't know. You don't know how you're going to react if you've never been there. You have no idea, man. I may respond in a way I never thought I would to something. You may just hit me at the wrong time and I smack you right in your mouth. Would that be right?
No,
it wouldn't. But I'm subject to. Make me mad enough. I've been saved a long time. I'm still subject to cuss. Got quiet then. I ain't said one in a while, but a funk one. Remember that thing about adultery? Y'all all right? I cannot believe our preacher thought a cuss word. I can't believe you thought I was above it. Y'all all right? I thought one this morning while I was preaching. When I realized that money was gone. I ain't lying. That burnt me up, boy. Thank God I'm eternally secure. Did you write them verses down?
Yes, sir.
Hope you underlined some of them. They may be a day you doubt your salvation. Our daughter Ashley, she got saved when she's young. She never smoked, never drank. As far as I know, she's never tasted alcohol. Don't tell me you hadn't. Just lie if you have. It'd break my heart. She hadn't. She ain't never tasted alcohol. She never smoked. Had never been high, I don't reckon. Never been high. Katie, I don't reckon has, except when she got her wisdom teeth cut out. That's the funniest thing you ever saw in your life. I'd like to do that again. Amen. Just to watch. But seriously, I mean, thank God for that. Thank God. I lost my whole train of thought right there. Huh? Oh, yeah. She doubted her salvation all the time. Somebody would preach on hell. She couldn't sleep. You know what we had to do with her over and over and over? I had a little booklet at home by John R. Rice talking about assurance of salvation. And me and Ashley would lay on her bed. I remember that back corner bedroom on Lawrence Road. I'd sit there and I'd say, baby, what's this scripture saying? We'd read the Bible. You know what she was doing? She wasn't getting her assurance from daddy. I could pat her on the head all night long and say, honey, you're okay. Go sleep. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to see what God said on the matter.
That's right.
I wanted to see the scripture. Now, here's what God said. Amen. Thank God you've got what God said. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Listen, I don't know when exactly, but within just a few weeks from now, on Sunday night, I'm going to be teaching on dealing with people in the altar. And I don't ever, ladies, look at me, men, I don't ever want to see another individual, especially a visitor, come to this altar and nobody follow them again. Ever. You never know.
That's right.
I always ask this question. We're going to deal with it later. I always ask this question. Is there something I can help you pray about? If they say, no, I just need to do business with God, let them alone. Let them do business with God. But they may need help. And God sent them here to get some help. And if we fail to give or offer that help, well, we've not done our job. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I don't even know if I'm going to give an altar call tonight. Anybody need to get saved? Come on. Brother Todd, why don't you come? I'm just going to ask Brother Todd to play for a minute. They don't even have to sing a special. Appreciate these boys being here tonight. Was that a blessing to you?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you may have a child that's out in the world and messed up. Man, there's hope, man. God turned these little boys' lives around. But they didn't. They wasn't always wearing a suit and tie. I know some of these youngins, they were thugs. You say, oh, I'd like for my daughter to meet a young man like that. Certainly after God got a hold of them, ain't that right, boys? They wasn't. I mean, I'm telling you, thank God. Man, they're a blessing to me. Lord willing, we'll see you in March. I hadn't heard from Brother Trapani, but I hope I'll be there in March. Amen. What a blessing. We're going to take up an offering for them in a minute. But if you need the altar tonight, you need to get this thing about your salvation settled. Get it taken care of right here tonight. Well, preacher, I'm not really sure. After what we've read tonight, are you convinced you can be sure? Are you convinced? You can go to this Bible over and over again. You know what I found out, Brother Fred? It never changes. Those scriptures are the same every time I read them. Thank God. I'd get that thing. God dealing with your heart. Come on tonight.